I'd like to read a couple of scriptures before we get into the lesson, and that is in Romans chapter 7 and verses 1 through 4. Romans 7 and verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she would be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man." Keeping that in mind, I now want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. There Paul wrote, "A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord." The thing I wanted to see about those two things is that a man and a woman are bound, when they're married, they're bound for life. My cousin, a cousin of mine, one time said that marriage is a life sentence without parole. And he was joking. But I say that because this is a good thing. I'm glad my wife is bound to me by law for as long as I live. And I'm hoping she feels the same way. The permanence of marriage is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's from God. This brings us to what I want to discuss this morning, and that is, what does the Bible say about this question? Is it lawful to divorce for just any reason? This is an important question for several reasons. First, it is a question recorded in the New Testament, and I know there's bad questions in the New Testament that someone might ask that the Bible records for us. Questions, let's say, that are asked out of spite, maybe a question that's asked just to test or trip up Jesus. But the Bible does record this very question. It's a good question. But when we look at the world around us, we'll find different thoughts and answers on this question. You, of course, and I am interested in the divine answer of this question. Is it lawful to divorce for just any reason? In the world, many are ignorant of the truth. Whether willingly or not is not mine to determine, but as a result, divorce is rampant. I don't need to tell you that. I remember divorce not being such a common thing because I think it was in fifth grade that I learned that I had a teacher who was divorced. And it was an awful thing to learn and know of such. Now, it's just commonplace. Divorce for irreconcilable differences is often the term that's used today. In the world, many despise the Word of God. That is, they look down upon the Word of God, and so even though they might know it, the divine answer is no concern to them. And someone has said, as the family goes, so goes the nation. And we see that happening, and we witness that very thing today. Among brethren, some say divorce is not the concern, but just remarriage after divorce. That is, okay, divorce, that's okay, just what's the law about remarriage? So, some think that if one divorces for just any reason, it could be okay, as long as they don't remarry. And of course, this is a problem, and we've actually been faced with that very problem here several years ago. Among brethren, some actually teach multiple causes for divorce. I've read them. Such as someone who doesn't pay their bills. The husband never pays the bills, and this is causing undue stress upon the wife, so she has a right to divorce her husband. Things such as this. A delinquent husband in some way. She may divorce him. But again, what we're looking for, and I know you want that too, is the divine answer to the question, is it lawful to divorce for just any reason? I want us to define some terms before we begin to answer the question. First of all, by lawful, we mean what does, of course, the law of God say about it. And when we talk about that, we'll narrow it even down further to the law of Christ. We're not concerned this morning about what the law of Moses tells us. There is some history about the law of Moses, and about the debate that went on between one school of thought and another school of thought upon the law of Moses, which if one didn't know that, they could still understand what Jesus is saying. We want to know what Jesus taught, what the apostles taught, what the New Testament teaching is on it. By divorce, we mean to end the marriage. The words used by Jesus, for example, the word used by Jesus in Matthew 19 and verse 6 is to put asunder. That's one translation of it. Another translation of this concept is the words put away in Matthew 19. The word separate is used in some versions, I believe the NIV, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. We'll talk about that in a bit too. Other words like depart are used. These words all refer to divorce. We'll look at this when we get into it. You'll see these words come out as we look at the scriptures. This is to end the marriage. Well, for just any reason. What do we mean by that? Well, that means just any possible reason you could come up with. Just there's no limit to any reason. I think that's important to understand. Just any reason. There is a reason. We'll see that. But just any reason? That's the question. I want to say, too, that we're talking about this question in the context of a lawful marriage. Here's what I mean. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, the Hebrew writer said, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. There are people who are married who are living in adultery. God does not approve of that. But they are married. In fact, we read of such a situation in the outset in Romans chapter 7 and verse 3. A woman was bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if while he lives she marries another man, she shall be called an adulteress. She married him. She did marry. She did marry another man. She's married. But she's in adultery in that case. So I want to say that if someone is married and living in adultery, just they've got to do something about it. We're not talking about those marriages. We're talking about a marriage that the Hebrew writer would have in mind, and that is one that's honorable, that's one that's pleasing to God, where God has joined the husband and wife. God doesn't join a husband and wife into adultery. He doesn't bind them in that. They are married, but He doesn't join them in that unlawful situation. That's, it's adultery. The other thing, we read it, Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. But I think it's worthwhile to talk about what fornication is in the context of Hebrews 13:4, and then the verses we'll be looking at. Fornication is unlawful sexual intercourse. It can include whether between a man and a woman, a man and a man, a woman and a woman, a man and a beast, a woman and a beast, just unlawful sexual intercourse. Adultery is more specific. Jesus does talk about adultery then in the texts in which we'll read, but adultery is unlawful sexual intercourse with the spouse of another. So generally that word has to do with fornication, but in a more specific sense, where one is the spouse or belongs to another. Anyway, let's continue on. The things that, I want to say this in the outset, the things that we're speaking about this morning, I believe apply equally to the husband as well as to the wife. And so, when you find me speaking about the man or the woman's side, it's for no reason other than simplicity. It's not my intention either in this lesson to deal with remarriage. It will come up, but that's not the subject of this lesson. We're not left to wonder about the question. We're not coming up with a question on our own, which would be fine. But this is a question that was asked by the Pharisees of Jesus to test Him, actually. But it was also inquired upon further by Jesus' disciples in Mark chapter 10. And it would appear that the Corinthians had similar question to which Paul replied in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's not a dumb question. It's a good question. And it's a good question because we're interested, of course, in the permanence of marriage. So let's think about this. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say about this? I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 19 as a beginning point for this question. Jesus, first of all, I want to say, is teaching his law. There is such a thing as Jesus' law, the law of Christ. Paul speaks of it in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. He says, so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2 says there is such a law. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 21, we won't read it there, but again, the law of Christ is spoken of. I want to say this too. Sometimes people will say that Jesus is just teaching the law of Moses because after all, he lived under the law of Moses. But please understand, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, when Jesus began preaching, it is said that he was teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Luke 16 and verse 16 says that the law and the prophets were until John, but since that time, the kingdom is preached. The kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. Jesus is teaching his law here. And by the way, if Jesus didn't teach his law while he was on earth, why would he ask the apostles and ask that the Holy Spirit come to them to guide them into all truth and bring to remembrance all things whatsoever he taught them? He wants them to teach the things he taught. And you would find that in John 14 through 16. I would also invite you to look at the article on the back of today's bulletin because it pertains to this question about what Jesus taught when he was here on earth. Did he teach his law? Anyway, Jesus, we're interested in what he said because he's teaching his law. At this point, I want us to read Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. It's written here, "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it's better not to marry. I want us to notice a few things there. Jesus takes them back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Jesus quotes that which is written there. In other words, he says God's law from the beginning has been this way, and that is, let not man separate what God has joined together. Already, I believe, just with that we have an answer, but I want to break it down further as we look at those verses. In verses 4 through 6 again, he answered their question this way. He said to them, have you not read? And that makes me think of being in school and the teacher says, well, have you not read? Which causes me to immediately maybe go on the defensive, but immediately to think, I think I should know this. That's kind of what that means. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Jesus, in answering their question, initially takes them to Genesis 2:24 And he's telling them that God implied, he necessarily implied an answer to their question right there. When he said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. What is the implication that we are to infer? That is, when God joins two and makes them one, are we supposed to undo what God made one? And so I want to say, the answer to the question just from verses 4 through 6 is no. No, from the beginning, no. Now let's see what he says on. He says in the rest of verse 6, he draws a conclusion for us. He says, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Let not man separate. That word separate is asunder. It's the same word that's used for separate and depart in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, which we'll see in a minute. But it is answering their question about divorce. This is the idea of divorce. Let not man separate what God has joined together. So again, his answer here is a second no. But let's keep going. So then they have a return question for him, and that is, why then did Moses give a certificate of divorce and command to give her a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives." But he says, "But from the beginning, it was not so." So again, Jesus is taking them back to the beginning, and for the third time he said, "No, you can't just divorce your wife for just any reason. It's never been that way. God never has intended it to be that way." The answer again is no. But then we go to verse 9. And he says, "I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality," that is fornication in the King James, "and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." In this verse, Jesus now turns and talks about remarriage. Of course, remarriage after divorce. And we would see here that Jesus approved of remarriage for the man who puts away his wife for fornication. He said, "Whoever divorces his wife except for fornication and marries another commits adultery." The force of that is, with the exception, is if he divorces his wife for her sexual immorality and he remarries, he doesn't commit adultery. That's the other side of that. Jesus approved a remarriage for the man who put away his wife for fornication. And I believe then it is necessary to conclude that divorce, that man's divorce of his wife for her fornication, was lawful. How else could a remarriage, could his remarriage be lawful if the divorce of that fornicating wife was not lawful? So here, again, if we ask the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? For just any reason, no, except for fornication, for her fornication. So again, what do we see? Jesus did not say anywhere in here that divorce for any cause other than fornication is okay as long as you don't remarry. He didn't say that. I will go even further. Jesus didn't imply that divorce for any cause other than fornication is okay as long as you don't remarry. He's already answered the question about divorce. Divorce for just any reason, no. But he then gives that exception about remarrying in verse 9. And that, of course, necessarily implies that a divorce for that cause is lawful. So, to the question, is it lawful to divorce for just any reason? He didn't imply that it was okay for any reason other than an innocent divorcing a mate for fornication. To the contrary, he answered no three times. And he gave that one exception in verse 9. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 31 and 32 to get some more information, though. Matthew 5, 31 and 32. Jesus said here, "Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason, except sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery." Jesus here tells us the serious consequence of divorce for just any cause. We're going to see that. Jesus tells the serious consequence of divorce, what the consequence can be of a divorce for just any reason, any flippant reason. He contrasts his law, first of all, in verse 31, with something that is written in Deuteronomy 24, which the Jews had taken as license to go and do lots of divorcing. Jesus gives his law in verse 32. And that is, if a man divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality, he causes her to commit adultery. I want to concentrate on that first piece. If he divorces his wife for any cause other than fornication, then he causes her to commit adultery. So it's the will of Christ. Would you say it's the will of Christ that you not divorce your wife for any cause other than fornication? And why is it not the will of Christ that you do such a thing? Divorce her for some cause other than fornication? Because if you do so, then you put her in the position that if she remarries, she commits adultery. He, of course, has remarriage being contemplated here. I want to give an example then. You divorce your wife because you don't like the way she brushes her hair. Jesus said, you are the cause of her adultery if she remarries. True, she's not guiltless if she remarries and thus commits adultery, but you're not guiltless either, Jesus said. You've sinned against her. This context, actually, in chapter 5, has a lot of cases where people are sinning. Jesus is talking about don't sin against another. But the other side of the truth is being taught, with the exception in place, is this. If you divorce your spouse for fornication, you do not cause her to commit adultery. Do we catch that there? I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. If you do divorce her then for her sexual immorality, for her fornication, are you the cause of her adultery when she marries that man? No, you're not the cause of that. But you know what? If you divorce her just because you don't like the way she brushes her hair and she remarries, you are the cause of her adultery. You cause her to commit adultery. Again, if you divorce your wife because she committed fornication, because she committed sexual immorality for that purpose, and she marries that man or any other one for that matter, she commits adultery, but you're not the cause of it. You've not sinned against her. I think it's worthwhile in all of these verses, and I haven't found anything anywhere else in the New Testament, it's worthwhile, I believe, to note that Jesus does not command you to divorce your wife if she commits fornication, but it is lawful for you to do so. I know we can have a good discussion personally about why you would. I cannot imagine dealing with such a sin in your marriage. But I can only imagine that God could, a person could overcome that. And many have. I've known people who've gone to counselors who weren't even Christians. And this couple wanted to get divorced. And he says, no, there's been no fornication. And then he goes further, and this is not a Christian, he says, and even if there was fornication, he says, I counsel couples to try to resolve that for the sake of children and for the sake of et cetera, et cetera. I'm not here to argue one way or the other. I'm just pointing out Jesus didn't command it, but he certainly authorized to divorce your spouse for fornication. And it's understandable why. And so it's completely lawful. The righteousness of the kingdom of God teaches us that you don't put away your spouse except for the cause of fornication. Jesus taught that it's not lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any cause. He authorized, though, the innocent to divorce his spouse who is guilty of fornication. I want to catch up on the slides and now go to what Paul has said. There are some other scriptures in the New Testament. Mark chapter 10 that Jesus spoke to. Mark chapter 10, which is a parallel of Mark 19. But we don't learn anything new there about divorce. And in Luke chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus gave the rule. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. There he didn't contemplate the exception at all. But the exception is in place from Matthew chapter 19. Let's turn then to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. And we'll read verses 1 through 15. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I not the Lord say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. I want to note verse 1, first of all, and that is, now concerning the things which you wrote to me. Paul is answering questions in chapter 7, and we, as you know, don't have the questions, but we have his answers. In verse 10 and 11 and 15, he uses the word depart. The word depart here is the same word as put asunder in Matthew 19 and verse 6. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder, let not man separate. It's the same Greek word, number 5563. I won't try to pronounce it. But Paul here is talking about divorce. To the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. And at the end of verse 11, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. And then he goes in verses 12 and 13, and he uses the word divorce, whether it's from a wife's standpoint or a man's standpoint. And then in verse 15, he uses the word depart. In verses 11 through 13, the word divorce is Again, divorce. It's number 863. It's referring to the ending of the marriage. But I want us to note that Paul doesn't contemplate an exception here of fornication, does he? There's nothing in here about fornication. That's okay. Jesus didn't do so in Luke 16:18. Doesn't negate the exception. It's not thrown out the window, but it's not the concern, I suppose, of the teaching that Paul has or the questions that he's answering here. The instruction is, a woman is not to depart from her husband. She's not to divorce her husband. A husband is not to divorce his wife. There's no exceptions, as we mentioned here. And that's, again, because we don't have the question that he's answering, but he's not dealing with the exception here. I believe there's some things to think about before we look at these verses. I believe there are some mistakes that can be made in verses 10 and 11, really through 13. First of all, some people read a version, and I believe it would be the NIV, in verse 10 with the word separate. A wife is not to separate from her husband. And they'll equate that to a husband and a wife simply separating. That is, they'll part ways, but they won't get a divorce. They'll say, well, we're just separated, we're not divorced. The Bible knows of no such thing. The only separate that I could read about, idea of separation in that sense that isn't a divorce, is in chapter 7 and earlier in verse 5, for example, where he says, don't deprive one another, don't be apart from each other for a time, lest you be tempted beyond your self-control or whatever. And so this idea of, and I don't know in other cultures whether that even exists, but I just know I grew up with my parents talking about, oh no, they're not divorced, they're just separated. The Bible knows of nothing like that, and certainly nothing like that that's acceptable. The separate here in verses 10 and 11 is divorce. It's the same thing as in Matthew 19:6 that Jesus spoke of. And if we didn't know that, we'd know it from verse 11, because even if she does separate, let her remain what? Unmarried. The result of this separation, this departing, this divorcing, is an unmarried state. The other thing is, some may read that since Paul says in verse 11, but if she should depart, then now he's giving divine approval to divorce. So you have him kind of saying at the beginning, well, she's not to divorce, but if she should, then since he says, but if she should, then he's giving approval for it. I want to note some things first of all. Paul's instruction is the same as Jesus's. He says, yet not I, but the Lord. That is, he doesn't say that because he means to say, if I were saying this, it wouldn't be authoritative, but this is what the Lord said, so it is authoritative. He's not saying that. He's saying, not just I am speaking about this, but the Lord spoke to this very thing. And for you and me, do you know where he spoke to this very idea? We've already read it, Matthew chapter 19. We've already read where he spoke to this. Later, Paul says in verse 12, to the rest, I not the Lord say. I believe he's saying to the rest of your questions, and he's saying, I am going to answer this question, and the Lord did not speak specifically to this specific question. And if you look at what he's answering a believer married to an unbeliever. So they apparently had a question about the holiness of such a relationship and whether it was right for an unbeliever to be married to a believer. And he says, if the unbeliever will stay with you, you certainly don't divorce them. And whether it's the husband or the wife. What's the point? I'm just trying to make the point that what Paul says is what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 19. Where did Paul get that from? Well, Paul wasn't I mean, as far as we know, Paul wasn't standing there with the disciples and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 19. He could have been. But where did Paul get his revelation directly? From the Lord. Galatians chapter 1, he talks about that. What's the instruction? The instruction is no. Is there divine approval to divorce? For the wife to depart? For the husband to divorce? No, don't divorce. She's not to separate. He's not to divorce. What is the result, though, if that happens? If one divorces, and let's say for just any cause. Do you remember Matthew 19 gave a consequence in a sense? Because when Matthew 19:9, when Jesus said, whoever divorces his wife except for fornication and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery, Jesus gave a consequence of divorcing not for the cause of fornication. That man who divorces his wife not for the cause of fornication and marries another commits adultery. So back that up. The consequence of it is you can't remarry. Else you commit adultery. And of course the last half, the consequence of such a divorce, of either divorce, I'll say that in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, whether a man divorces his wife for fornication or not for fornication, the wife is not to remarry, lest she commit adultery, and whoever marries her commits adultery. But back here to verse 11. Verse 11 here, if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled. Do you see the consequence he's putting? This woman cannot remarry. She's not to remarry. In fact, he says, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. The point I want us to see that by saying, but even if she does depart, Paul does not give a stamp of approval on divorce. Any more than in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, it's the same construct of language. John says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Did he mean to say, I write so you don't sin, and then he turned around and said, but if you do sin, so by saying, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with Jesus Christ, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, by saying, but if you do sin, then he meant to say, it's okay to sin? The but doesn't give approval for what he just said don't do. But I want to ask this question. Is Paul giving options in the sense of pick the one you like? Here they are, and I had a discussion with a brother in Christ about this one time and my jaw dropped. But let's pretend it goes this way. You're tired of being married to this person. So you say, I'll go ahead and divorce them, which is not lawful. That's sinful. But now that I'm unmarried, well, I did get what I want, so I'm done. I'll take option one, unmarried. And Paul's just fine with that. I'll tell you what, if someone thinks they can fool God that way, then they've got something coming. To choose to divorce a wife so that then you can remain unmarried, when all the while you know that God says don't divorce, I know it's wrong to steal my neighbor's car, but I choose to steal it. Now, when I repent, what am I going to do about it? Give it back. If I sin against my relationship with you, any one of you, and I tell you I repent, what do you want to see from me? Reconciliation. Not separation. You want to see reconciliation from me. But it's not just what you want to see. What do I owe you out of repentance? That's the question we're talking about. And so I want to say, if one sins by divorcing their spouse for some cause other than fornication, I can't for the life of me understand how their repentance of that sin wouldn't demand they try to reconcile with what they broke. But you know, reconciliation takes two. And that's not always possible. Paul has taught what Jesus taught. And that is to not divorce. It's not lawful to divorce for just any cause. In Matthew 19, Jesus did give one lawful cause of divorce, and that is the innocent divorcing the spouse who committed fornication. And He gave only that person the right to remarry. We saw in those verses in 1 Corinthians 7:39, Romans 7, in the very beginning, we saw that if a spouse dies, you're freed to marry, okay? But that's not under what we're trying to talk about here. I want to make a few more points as we try to wrap this up. First of all, speaking as the Bible speaks, a divorce is a divorce, whether it's approved by God or not. Let me say that again. A divorce is a divorce that ended the marriage, whether it's approved by God or not. If we turn back to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, Jesus said, "Whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." Jesus, by using the word divorce in this sentence, where he used the word divorce to talk about the rule and the exception. You know, if he wanted to use divorce in one context and then he used the word divorce in another context and you could determine through context it meant something different, well, okay, I guess. But he used the word divorce in one verse to describe a divorce that was for fornication and one that wasn't. And so, it can't mean two different things. The word means an ending of the marriage. And one is approved by God, and one isn't. The one that is for fornication is approved for the innocent to do. The one that isn't for fornication is not approved, but it's still a divorce. It's still a divorce. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 7:10. If a wife depart, let her depart. If a wife depart, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried. So here's a divorce, and the result of it, even when it's not for fornication, the result of it was she's unmarried. So, you know, sometimes people talk about a divorce in God's eyes and a divorce in man's eyes in the Bible. I don't believe that's speaking where the Bible speaks. God calls a divorce for fornication a divorce, and He calls a divorce not for fornication a divorce. Whether He's pleased with it or not, it's a divorce. Either one of them ends the marriage relationship. The difference is one is approved by God and one is not. And I'll go just this far too. Just because the marriage relationship is ended does not mean, of course, that anyone has the right to remarry. The only one given the right to remarry is the innocent one who divorced his spouse or her spouse who was guilty of fornication. Again, this lesson isn't intended to talk about remarriage. But of course, we've said too, death, of course, releases one from the marriage bond. And this is where we're not talking about it, but married is not equal to bound. That's not... Two people can be married and living in adultery. They're not bound by God. A man is bound by law to her husband as long... A woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. God has bound them in that relationship. But anyway, I want us to go to a second point. What are the effects of divorce for just any cause? Not for the cause of fornication then. In other words, who does my sin affect if I do this? First of all, you're breaking the promise to your spouse that you made before God and before men when God joined you and you were bound. Secondly, you're no longer able to fulfill the commands you're supposed to fulfill as a husband or a wife, obviously. And then, of course, what about the children? Third, Again, we're thinking about the consequences. Who do I affect by if I were to do this? Third, we are doing what God hates. Someone says, well, you know, I know God hates something, but is it a sin? We ought not to be thinking that way. If God hates something, we've already seen God's not says it's not lawful to divorce for just any cause. But you know what? If God hates something, I don't want anything to do with it. Isn't that the way you think too? Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. For the Lord God of Israel says that He hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence. Says the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. The permanence of marriage, Matthew chapter 19 and verses 4 through 6, Genesis 2:24, what God has joined, let not man separate. And then leads me to this next point. When one divorces for just any cause, not for the cause of fornication, they're dividing what God has joined together. That's the way it was said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6 by Jesus. They're dividing what God has joined together. And fifth, and this is what Matthew 5 taught us, one who divorces his spouse not for fornication is putting their spouse and themselves, for that matter, into the possibility of committing adultery. They're putting themselves into that temptation. How many times have people said, well, we're just going to get a divorce and we're not getting remarried? Jesus, God, knew long ago through their wisdom what would happen most of the time. And that is, they're going to get remarried. That's what happens so often. But even if you don't, you are putting your spouse into that situation where if they don't have the self-control. Jesus says, you've caused them to commit adultery. That's what He said in Matthew 5:32. That's very strong language. So, I want to say, you know, finally, if you defend, I don't mean you personally, anyone in here, but if one is going to defend divorce being lawful for some cause other than fornication, then I'll just tell you another's going to defend divorce being lawful for another cause. And as far as I can tell from the Bible, one of those reasons is just as good as another. And they have all one thing in common. They are not the one exception given for divorce, which is the innocent divorcing the guilty for their fornication. So, the New Testament gives us the divine God-approved answer to the question, is it lawful to divorce your wife or to divorce your husband for just any cause? No. Jesus taught no. Paul taught no. Is it lawful for an innocent husband or wife to divorce his or her spouse for fornication? Yes. Jesus taught yes. It is. I hope the lesson is helpful to you as we think about this question, that really there's a lot of confusion in the world about it. And there's certainly, more than confusion, there's practice of what's not lawful. And what we need to do, this sounds like a negative lesson, but what we need to do is think about the permanence of our marriage and where we started. It is a beautiful thing that you are joined to your husband or wife for life. Now let's make it good and beautiful. And that would be altogether another lesson. Are you right with the Lord this morning? If you're not, this is an opportunity to make things right. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you haven't obeyed Jesus by coming and confessing your faith in Him as the Son of God, repenting of your sins and being baptized for the remission of your sins, then you're not saved until you do that. And you need to be saved before it's too late. And if you've done that, but you're not living right now, then you need to make it right with the Lord. And make it right as we stand and sing a song to encourage you.